Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to our Sunday Q&A session. Thank
Sunday
you for joining
morning.
Us.
Yeah, happy time.
Happy Sunday. First question, Matt.
Is a 35-day suspension from Parliament really the best we can think of by way of punishment for an MP who's been caught red-handed trying to sell himself to the gambling industry? Whatever happened to hanging, drawing and quartering? Highland Girl on Spotify.
Very good.
What a good question.
Well, indeed.
This refers to...
Scott Benton?
Benton, yeah.
Yeah. Who, where is he, Blackpool?
Blackpool South, who last week was handed a recommendation of a 35-day suspension by the Standards Committee. And this means that there's a real chance that if the Commons carries that, he will face a petition for recall and there'll be a by-election. And it's a very narrow majority, so Labour could win that seat.
But this is a great point.
Where, it is a very good point.
You know, I mean... Obviously, we're not advocating the return of capital punishment.
No, we're actually against that.
But nevertheless,
put in that context, it's quite tempting.
But I'm just trying to think now. So, say you're, like a managing director of a medium-sized business, and you breach the trust of that business to such a degree. Well, you get fired for gross misconduct, but also the police get called in, you know.
The cops would be called in immediately.
And if you're prosecuted for a breach of trust like that, you go to jail quite often because it's considered a heinous crime.
Yes, so even though we, you know, moderates that we are, stop short of hanging, drawing and quartering, I think the implication of Highland Girl's excellent question, which is that really enough, is a good one, which is we're going to have to, I mean, it's a huge discussion for the next government, which is how do you win back trust? And I think that the sanctions that are presently available to Parliament don't go far enough, because a lot of these sleaze allegations, and which are often true, don't just involve good chaps being good chaps. They involve outright corruption.
Yes.
And I would like to see people in the dock for some of these transgressions.
I mean, innocence until proven guilty and all
yes,
that.
No,
and presumably and Scott Benton, if he is making a case of his innocence, would like to see that talked through in a court of law.
Get his name cleared.
Get his name cleared. So he should welcome prosecution by the
But I do think that if Parliament is to avoid the image which it has of being a self-serving club for all of the things that have happened since the Nolan Report in 95. There have been reforms, but they're not working. They're not, you know, the system isn't working. Because if it was, Partygate wouldn't have happened.
Exactly,
you know, that's
right.
The truth.
Yeah.
So it does need huge reform. And I think it's low-hanging fruit for Keir Starmer, actually, because in practice, it won't cost a bean. I mean, it will cost a little bit.
No.
But this is an issue waiting to be sorted. And it's just the sort of thing an incoming government could make a lot of good noise with.
Yeah, because without it, the impression stands that there's one law for them and one law for, others, you know.
You know, people are puzzled why governments around the world are not getting credit for economic improvements. And the reason is that people don't trust politicians anymore, which is really bad news for progressive governments, because the right sits with populism because it doesn't like passing laws that change and improve people's lives. But progressives do.
Yeah.
And to have a situation where no one trusts anyone in the political situation is dangerous. And so all this has to be looked at.
Be interesting to know. I don't know the answer to this. Maybe some legal experts can write into the two Matts at tnepublishing.com. Is this kind of thing, has he actually broken a law?
Well, I'd like to know that. You know,
because if he hasn't, that's a huge problem.
You know, has he broken the law? Because of course, one of the weirdnesses is that MPs are self-employed.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Yeah.
With whom has he breached trust other than Parliament? And you know, as you can imagine, the legal status of Parliament is very weird and based on convention rather than.
Yeah, so statute. maybe there's actually not a law to
no,
to
and
prosecute,
I think but, this is know. A good area to get into, and people get very, very nervous of, oh, you know, you mustn't, Parliament must be completely insulated from any kind of legal, that's bollocks.
Really?
You know?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, there's a kind of fetishized sovereignty of Parliament thing we've talked about before, and I think that actually the more scrutiny Parliament is subject to, the better of all
kinds. I think
kinds.
It should be the absolute inverse of that. I think
absolutely.
They should be pristine, and if they're not, they should be prosecuted. All right, thank you very much for that,
good
Highland
question.
Girl. Great question, and that came via Spotify.
Via Spotify.
If you're listening on
coming.
Spotify, there's a little box right underneath our sort of page where you can just type in your question.
And we'll answer.
Please do
we
that. We do see them, and we will answer them. Next question, please. So, on immigration policy, can you tell me why Sunak keeps saying it's what British people want? This is a great question. Is this from the days when Brexit happened? There is an awful lot of people who didn't vote for that. I feel ashamed to be British every time he says that. And that's from Anthony Locatis. Excuse me, Anthony, if I've pronounced that wrong. But Locatis, I'm guessing. Thank
you
for the question.
Well, it's a very good question. Yeah. And I think one that we feel strongly about. I mean, you kind of read our minds. Look, I mean, here my answer, Matt, would be that it isn't what the British people want, and that their attitude on immigration is much more nuanced and much more sectoral. It is true that if you ask people, are they concerned about immigration, they say yes. But that question and answer disguises a range of opinion that I think Sunak either chooses to or genuinely doesn't understand. And yes, I agree with the second part. I think Brexit, partly because of the Remain campaign's refusal to engage with immigration because they were frightened that it was leaves turf, a poison has entered the political bloodstream, which is very dangerous. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I agree completely, and we touched on it on our Friday podcast, which is this idea that, I mean, I don't know what the British people think. There's no such monolithic opinion.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that any rational person, when faced with a choice between appalling waiting times at the NHS or stopping a couple of hundred people from coming over on dinghies or shipping a couple of hundred people out to Rwanda, I'm pretty sure that most people would say, well, I'd sooner have quicker cancer treatment. Thank you very much. Can you sort that out? You know, so where it sits on the priority list is the right question, I think. And it's, I would suspect it's way down the list, but it probably sits on Paul Dacre's list very high up, which is why people like Rishi Sunak, because they're weak, say, oh, let's, what can we give, what red meat can we throw to the Daily Mail, you know, to excite them, because that'll bring all the so-called laughably called five families back on board, you know, because they'll think we're all nasty and hard, you know. That's the kind of sad thing.
And also words really matter in this. Frank Luntz is a very experienced US pollster, has a book, I forget its title, which is all about how political language can get contaminated or elevated. And the truth is that what's happened is that the word immigration has come to be a proxy word for scary change. And the word asylum seeker, which, you know, ought to be a term that invites at least a measure of compassion and principle of charity, has come to be seen as, oh, you know, scroungers coming here to take. Yeah. What's interesting is if you poll people on asylum seekers, they're hostile. If you poll people on refugees, they're much more understanding.
Right.
So you can talk about the same group of people.
Just different
words. Same population, the same demographic, but use a different word.
Wow.
But that's because political language, as all said, is really important.
Yeah,
you know, it really matters. And I think that we've seen a poisoning of language in this, which is a very, very urgent matter to be addressed.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Anthony, for your question.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore.
Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thank you for listening to The Two Mats, and if you like the kind of conversations we have here, there are loads more to be had in print and online at The New European. And I have got a very special offer for all listeners of The Two Mats. We are giving away copies of Alistair Campbell's Diaries 2023, which is a book we're publishing this month. It's fantastic diary, full of everything that's happened, all the people he's met, and anybody who's a fan of Alistair Campbell's diaries over the years know how brilliantly he turns them out. He is very much a latter-day Samuel Pepys.
He really is.
He is. So you can get a free copy of Alistair Campbell's Diaries 2023 worth £20 when you subscribe to The New European from as little as £1 a week. Or if you like getting the newspaper delivered to your door every single week, you can have that for just another pound a week. And that's a 75% saving on the price you'll pay at the newsagents. To get this great offer, go to www.theneweuropean.co.uk/2mats. That's the number 2, M-A-T-T-S. Tell them I sent you and you'll get your free copy of Alistair Campbell's Diary 2023 delivered to you in time for Christmas. Next question, please.
Would it be a smart move by Labour to advocate the introduction of ID cards as one measure to tackle illegal immigration, particularly those who disappear after arriving, from Trevor Dobson? Thank you, Trevor. What do you reckon, Matt?
Well, so maybe we'll disagree on this. I have never had a problem or seen the fundamental issue with having an ID card. I just don't get it, to be honest. And people say, oh, it's all about, you know, Britain's somehow exceptional in the fact that we don't have to carry ID cards around. I've just thought, you know, why not? If it makes life easier, if it makes you more identifiable to people who have a right to see, and there's a consensus that, you know, your ID card could be demanded in these circumstances, what's the big deal? You know, unless you've got something to hide.
Actually, we don't disagree at all.
Right.
But the devil's advocate point, which is made by people on left and right, actually, which is a sort of Magna Carta, Runnymede position, which is once you're through the borders of the UK, you are freeborn and free from interference by the authorities. Okay, that's the line, which is why ID cards, in that, according to that very antiquated school of thought, are a bad idea. The truth is that actually we carry about 10 ID cards with us already. Yeah. I mean, our phones are way more porous and subject to scrutiny than any ID card would be, and all of our credit cards and goodness knows what are too. And the plus of ID cards, as Trevor implies, would be that actually it would make it much easier to trace migrants. You know, if you're talking about a phased system of settlement, you know, if you have ID cards, you know where people are.
Yeah.
And at the moment, you don't.
Yeah.
And so I think people who fear ID cards have a sort of image of the Stasi stopping in the street and saying, papers.
Your papers are not in order.
But that's not going to happen. Yeah. In fact, you know, the police are entitled already to ask for identification of some kind. You know, so I think it's an non-issue. I think that it has a sort of strange toxicity around it, but it's a totally old toxicity. Yeah. And I think that it would be a very sensible reform.
Yeah, on a practical point, I would lose it within 2 days. So it would have to be something that you could put on your phone.
So absolutely. But I mean, imagine how useful it would be, you know, on a health basis. So encrypted on your, this would be controversial too, but I actually think that if you were admitted to casualty, your ID card would carry all of the information about your blood type, about your donor organs, everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Put it this way, it's nationalising things that we have in private sector form already. You know, we carry all these things already and then some. An ID card would carry so much less than our phones.
Yeah.
So,
I've never got it, and I'm happy to hear you don't quite understand it either. Some people get very hung up on it.
I think it used to be part of English exceptionalism. There was a kind of libertarian strand, English individualism, that you were able to stride like Dick Whittington around the streets of London. Yeah. You know, the one thing, you might have a cat in a knapsack, but no one was going to ask you for a bloody ID card. That's right. Yeah. This is sort of toy town talk, really. And I think it would have some great positive benefits as well.
So there you go, Trevor. We both think it's a smart move, but I doubt it will happen. Next question. Benjamin Zephaniah, Shane McGowan, Alistair Darling all die too young. Putin, Trump, Murdoch enjoy robust health. Is the devil real? Asks Michael Rosenthal. Thank you, Michael.
Here we are already. It's not yet Christmas, but we're already deep in theology, right? Well, actually, I mean, I don't think any of those three... I mean, first of all, it is very sad, as we said that week when they all died, that Benjamin Zephaniah, Shane McGowan, and Alistair Darling all died too young. They certainly did. I don't think Putin, Trump and Murdoch are enjoying robust health, actually. No. I think Trump... looks as if he does, because he's sort of like an inflated balloon compared to Biden. The great irony of Biden, I can't be said often enough, is that he keeps himself very fit and rides on his bike, but it makes him look older.
Yeah.
Whereas Trump, it sort of now looks ageless.
Because he's bloaty and tanned.
Well, he's bloaty and tanned. And I mean, how old is he? He looks like someone who's lived in Florida for 150 years.
Yeah.
But I don't think he enjoys robust health.
And the rumours around Putin were that he was seriously ill, wasn't he?
Yes, and indeed on today, Thursday, he's returned for his annual Q&A and press conference.
Yes, lots of challenging
apparently
questions.
Apparently 2 million piercing and, you know, challenging questions have been placed by adoring citizens of the Russian Federation. But that in itself... just en passant is very bad news, because it shows that he's feeling good about Ukraine and probably feeling good about the possible return of Trump.
And to Michael's point, is the devil real? Do you have any views on
matters? I would, as they say in the Labour Party, like to remit that question, because I think 2024 is going to give us a pretty good sense of whether the devil is real.
If Trump wins,
and if, God forbid, the Conservatives pull off, a sort of miracle fifth term, then I'm all in with the Satan rules.
Well,
school.
As Nick Cave said, I don't believe in an interventionist God, but right now, if we could have an interventionist God, it would be...
Yes, if you're
news.
Up there, and I don't know if God is a listener to the Two Mads podcast, Godcast, we would... 2024 is the year we need a bit of help, I think.
Yes, please. Thank you, Michael, for your question. Next question, please.
Which is a better reflection of Britain today, Slow Horses or The Crown? From Jane in Primrose Hill.
Well, you're going to have to take this on, because I've seen neither.
Okay, well, let's start with The Crown, because everyone has a view on that. The Crown is in its last season, and it's divided into two, which grand TV series do with their seasons. The Sopranos used to do that as well. And the second tranche, the final tranche, just dropped this morning, Thursday. So.
Oh, right.
I watched the first episode of the second tranche, which was better, I have to say, than the first tranche of the last series, which was terrible. It was all about Diana and really, you know, agony at some points. But I do think that the Crown, which at one point was the sort of maypole around which national culture gambled has reached the end, not just in terms of the chronology, but it no longer has its sort of fascination, if indeed it ever had any. So I think it's, you know, time to draw a veil over that.
Yeah.
Slow Horses, on the other hand,
yeah.
Which is something I loved from the start, because I do like the Mick Herron books very much. With Gary Oldman playing this, it's on Apple TV Plus,
yeah.
playing Jackson Lamb, who runs a sort of outhouse of MI5, who are all the losers and the exiles. They're called the Slow Horses because it's called Slow House. And it sort of feels very much like the end of days Tory era Britain.
Right.
You know, it's very decrepit. You know, there's a certain kind of, in the figure of Jackson Lamb, who's flatulent and eats takeaway food and drinks too much and smokes, there's a sort of expertise, but everything is shabby and tawdry, and it feels like sitting in a very dilapidated NHS waiting room, but with spies, you know.
Right, right.
So I think in terms of zeitgeist, Slow Horses
right.
is right on the money.
And I have to say, this is about the third or fourth time it's been mentioned in glowing terms, so I'll have to
tune in. This is the third season, and I think they've had a fourth confirmed. But it obviously, Gary Oldman it can carry anything.
Superb, yeah.
But I think it's not just that. I think it does map onto how we feel.
Right.
You know, and it's rather wonderful because the theme tune is sung by Mick Jagger, and there's a lot of class in it. The great ensemble team. But Kristin Scott Thomas is one of the posh MI5 bosses in they relocate the proper MI5 headquarters to Regent's Park.
Okay.
So they talk about the park.
Okay.
Going to the park.
Okay.
But it speaks to something to do with the feeling of shabbiness
okay.
that we're all suffering from
great.
At the moment.
So it's a recommendation from you.
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you. And that's it. That's the last question. Thank you, Jane. If you've got any questions, please send them in to 2Matts, that's the number 2, MATTS, at tnepublishing.com, and we will answer as many as we get.
We certainly
will. Very best. Or if you're listening on Spotify, like I said earlier, you can just tap into the little box, the box that they put up there. You can ask your questions, and we do get to see them. And we love your feedback. Please send us any questions, any feedback. And if you like the show, please do recommend it. We are very, very delighted to have growing numbers of listeners every week. So that's fantastic. And down to your following. Thank you so
much.
Thank you. Don't forget your subscription offer for the New European. You can get a free copy of Alistair Campbell's Diaries 2023, which are a fascinating chronicle of the year we've just lived through. You can get them absolutely free of charge, worth £20, with a subscription to the New European from just £1 a week. So until next week,
have a happy Sunday.
Have a great Sunday.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.